Against Heresies by St. Irenaeus of Lyon. Book 4, Chapter 28. Those persons prove themselves senseless who exaggerate the mercy of Christ, but are silent as to the judgment, and look only at the more abundant grace of the New Testament, but forgetful of the greater degree of perfection which it demands from us, they endeavor to show that there is another God beyond him who created the world. Inasmuch, then, as in both testaments there is the same righteousness of God displayed when God takes vengeance, in the one case, indeed, typically, temporarily, and more moderately, but in the other, really, enduringly, and more rigidly. For the fire is eternal, and the wrath of God which shall be revealed from heaven from the face of our Lord, as David also says, "But the face of the Lord is against them that do evil, to cut off the remembrance of them from the earth," entails a heavier punishment on those who incur it. The elders pointed out that those men are devoid of sense who, arguing from what happened to those who formerly did not obey God, do endeavor to bring in another father, setting over against these punishments what great things the Lord had done at his coming to save those who received him, taking compassion upon them, while they keep silence with regard to his judgment, and all those things which shall come upon such as have heard his words but done them not, and that it were better for them if they had not been born, and that it shall be more tolerable for Sodom and Gomorrah in the judgment than for that city which did not receive the word of his disciples. For as in the New Testament, that faith of men in God has been increased, receiving in addition the Son of God, that man too might be a partaker of God, so is also our walk in life required to be more circumspect when we are directed not merely to abstain from evil actions, but even from evil thoughts, and from idle words and empty talk and scurrilous language. Thus also the punishment of those who do not believe the word of God, and despise his coming, and are turned away backward, is increased, being not merely temporal, but rendered also eternal. For to whomsoever the Lord shall say, "Depart from me, you cursed, into an everlasting fire," these shall be damned for ever. And to whomsoever he shall say, "Come, ye blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from eternity," these do receive the kingdom for ever, and make constant advance in it, since there is one and the same God the Father, and his Word who has always been present with the human race, by means, indeed, of various dispensations, and has wrought out many things, and saved from the beginning those who are saved. For these are those who love God, and follow the word of God, according to the class to which they belong. And he has judged those who are judged, that is, those who forget God, and are blasphemous, and are transgressors of his word. For the self-same heretics already mentioned by us have fallen away from themselves by accusing the Lord, in whom they say that they believe. For those points to which they call attention with regard to the God who then awarded temporal punishments to the unbelieving and struck the Egyptians, while he saved those that were obedient, these same shall nevertheless repeat themselves in the Lord, who judges for eternity those whom he judges, and lets go free for eternity those whom he does let go free. And he shall thus be discovered, according to the language used by these men, as having been the cause of their most heinous sin to those who laid hands upon him and pierced him. For if he had not so come, it follows that these men could not have become the slayers of their Lord. And if he had not sent prophets to them, they certainly could not have killed them, nor the apostles either. To those, therefore, who assail us and say, if the Egyptians had not been afflicted with plagues, and when pursuing after Israel, been choked in the sea, God could not have saved his people, this answer may be given. Unless, then, those Jews had become the slayers of the Lord, who did indeed take eternal life away from them, and, by killing the apostles and persecuting the church, had fallen into an abyss of wrath, we could not have been saved. For as they were saved by means of the blindness of those Egyptians, so are we too by that of those Jews, if indeed the death of the Lord is the condemnation of those who fastened him to the cross, and who do not believe his coming, but the salvation of those who believe in him. For the apostle does also say in the second epistle to the Corinthians, for we are unto God a sweet savour of Christ, in them which are saved, and in them which perish. To the one indeed the savour of death, unto death, but to the other the savour of life, unto life. To whom then is there the savour of death unto death, unless to those who do not believe and are not subject to the word of God? And who are they that did even then give themselves over to death? Those men, doubtless, who do not believe nor submit themselves to God. And again, who are they that have been saved and have received the inheritance? Those, doubtless, who do believe God, and who have continued in his love, as did Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, and Joshua, the son of Nun, and innocent children who have had no sense of evil. But who are they that are saved now, and receive life eternal? Is it not those who love God, and who believe his promises, and who, in malice, have become like little children? Chapter 29. Refutation of the arguments of the Marcionites, who attempted to show that God was the author of sin, because he blinded Pharaoh and his servants. But, say they, God hardened the heart of Pharaoh and his servants. Those, then, who allege such difficulties do not read in the Gospel that passage where the Lord replied to the disciples, when they asked him, why do you speak to them in parables? Because it is given to you to know the mystery of the kingdom of heaven. But to them I speak in parables, that seeing they may not see, and hearing they may not hear, understanding they may not understand, in order that the prophecy of Isaiah regarding them may be fulfilled, saying, make the heart of this people gross, and make their ears dull, and blind their eyes. But blessed are your eyes, which see the things that you see, and your ears, which hear what you hear. For the one and the same God that blesses others inflicts blindness on those who do not believe, but who set him at nothing. Just as the sun, which is a creature of his, to those who by reason of any weakness of the eyes cannot behold his light, but to those who believe in him and follow him, God grants a fuller and greater illumination of mind. In accordance with this word, therefore, does the apostle say in the second epistle to the Corinthians, in whom this world has blinded the minds of those that believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ should shine upon them. And again, in that to the Romans, And as they did not think fit to have God in their knowledge, God gave them up to a reprobate mind to do those things that are not convenient. Speaking of Antichrist, too, he says clearly in the second epistle to the Thessalonians, "And for this cause God shall send them a working of error, that they should believe a lie, that they all might be judged who believed not the truth, but consented to iniquity. If, therefore, in the present time also, God, knowing the number of those who will not believe, since he foreknows all things, has given them over to unbelief, and turned away his face from men of this stamp, leaving them in the darkness which they have themselves chosen for themselves, what is there wonderful if he did also at that time give over to their unbelief Pharaoh, who never would have believed, along with those who were with him? As the word spoke to Moses from the bush, 'And I am sure that the king of Egypt will not let you go unless by a mighty hand.' And for the reason that the Lord spoke in parables and brought blindness upon Israel, that seeing that they may not see, since he knew the unbelief in them, for that same reason he hardened Pharaoh's heart, in order that, while seeing that it was the finger of God which led forth the people, he might not believe, but be precipitated into a sea of unbelief, resting in the notion that the exit of these Israelites was accomplished by magical power, and that it was not by the operation of God that the Red Sea afforded a passage to the people, but that this occurred by merely natural causes." End of chapter 29.